Today I'd like to talk to you that if we only had 4 hours together, what would it be that I would tell you? And if we only had 4 hours together, I would tell you the most important information that I know, because I may never get to see you again. And everybody's kind of going, oh no, he's going to talk for 4 hours. But truly, we're talking about hour number three. All right. In the past, we've talked about hours number one and hour number two. And in those hours, we talked about the good news, that if I've only got a limited amount of time to talk to you, and these lessons kind of came out of the work that we did over at the Oak Haven Rehab Center, where we only had 4 hours to talk to the residents. And Nancy Palmer and Tommy Faulkner and myself would conduct Bible studies over there on Wednesday night. We only had 4 hours. And at that point, they would leave and depart, and we might never see them again. And in most cases, we've never seen those folks again. But in those 4 hours, given those that precious amount of little time, we had to focus, and we had to decide what's important. What is it that we really need to communicate to people? And in hour number one, we wanted to make sure that if we didn't get any other hour with them that we could spend with them, we wanted them to know that God exists and that God has spoken. You remember in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the Hebrew writer tells us God, who at different times and different manners has spoken in the past to our fathers and the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, Jesus. And in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, because God has spoken, Paul warned the Galatian brethren there, saying, brethren, I'm amazed that you're so soon removed from the faith which was once delivered to you. If we or an angel from heaven should preach unto you any other gospel than that which you have heard, let him be accursed. And as I said before, I so say now again, if any man preach unto you any other gospel than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Paul exhorted Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they shall heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. God has spoken. God exists. We know that through this book, through the Word of God, through the Bible, that God is telling us that he's there and that he has a message for us. In the second hour, we talked about how that God has prepared a place called paradise. We looked at some of those verses, such as when Jesus talked to his disciples and said, I've got a mansion prepared for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And in the revelation that belonged to Jesus, that he gave to John in the book of Revelation, in chapters 20 and 21, we see how John saw that there was a new heaven, a new Jerusalem, a new heaven and a new earth that came down. And it was so beautiful, and it was so peaceful, and it was so happy. There was no tears, no sorrow, no night, no work. I get y'all's attention? No work there. It's a place of rest. And we see in Revelation chapter 22 that the revealer goes on to point out to us that there's a throne there, and from in front of the throne there's a river of living water, and on either side of that river of living water is the tree of life. God gave us this revelation, and at the very beginning he gave man a paradise. And paradise was lost by a deception that occurred in the garden. But at the very end of the book, God says, there's a paradise that I still have for the people that love me. And it's such a wonderful description that as we talk about the fact that God has prepared a paradise, we really want to emphasize that it's a place that you don't want to miss. It's a place that you want to make sure that you get to go to. And that brings us to the current hour. One of the most sobering things in knowing that God has spoken, and one of the things in knowing that he has revealed to us his intent, his desire, his plan, and his work to prepare a paradise for us where we can live with him forever. The flip side of that coin is not everybody gets to go. That's a pretty sobering thought, to have such a wonderful place that God has prepared, but not everyone gets to go. You know, God's word's plain about this. We don't have to guess. We don't have to wonder. I wonder if everybody gets to go to heaven. God's told us. Matthew chapter 7, just before the verses that Tommy read for us today, in Matthew 7 verses 13 and 14, Jesus says, "Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because narrow is the gate," and Matthew 7, 30, "enter the narrow gate, for the gate's wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are there who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few there are who find it." In fact, the Bible tells us not only is not everyone going to get to enter into heaven, not everybody gets to go, but Jesus says very few get to go. How heartbreaking that is, that God has prepared such a wonderful place, but so few people get to go to it. In the verses that were read in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many," there's the many, "many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I, Jesus, will declare to them, 'Depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness.'" Such a sad, sad day. And we want to talk this morning just briefly about who does the Bible say doesn't get to go to heaven. There's four groups of people. Of course, there's a number of stories. Matthew chapter 13 and the discussion about the seed and the sower. And there's a number of stories. We're going to just focus on a few of them today. But I think we can classify the folks that don't get to go to heaven in four groups. So number one is those who don't know and don't know to care. You know, it's one of those things. There's a whole group of people that don't even know about Jesus. They don't know about heaven. They don't know that they need to care about going to heaven. And the thing that's so very sad about that is they're not going to be there. That sounds awfully harsh and awfully cruel to some of us, that God would create such a nice and a wonderful place, but he wouldn't let the ignorant people go there. Does that seem fair? First off, we need to remember God has rights as a creator. God created this world. God created you and me. You and I don't get to set the rules. This is his creation. If you came into a house that I built and started telling me how I ought to do things in my house, you'd think that was craziness, wouldn't you? No, maybe you wouldn't. Maybe if I came into your house and told you what you need to do in your house, you'd think that was crazy. And that's the challenge, that's the problem that we mentally have a lot of times with who gets to go to heaven. We think we run God's house, and we don't run God's house. Look at a couple verses with me. Romans chapter 9 and verse 20, I just mentioned this. In Romans chapter 9, Paul is engaged in a discussion with the Jewish Christians there in Rome, and he's really trying to point out, God's the potter. He made the pot. Who are you to judge what the pot does? or what the Creator does. So in Romans chapter 9, we see that God has rights. God can do with this earth what He wants to do. The blessing of it all is God's told us what He wants to do, what He plans to do. Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 31. You remember Paul was talking to some philosophers. Y'all ever run across a philosopher? A philosopher can talk for multiple days and never come to a conclusion. And that's who he's talking to. He was talking to philosophers on Mars Hill. And he was explaining this unknown God, the God that they thought they needed to worship but just didn't know anything about Him. And Paul makes a statement to him. He says, you know, God in times past winked at the ignorance of men. He kind of overlooked that. But now, today, in today's time, he commands all men everywhere. Does that leave anybody out? All men everywhere. He commands all men everywhere to repent. You know, the thing about it is, Paul didn't say he suggests that all men everywhere repent. He didn't say he would propose that all men everywhere would repent. What Paul said is, in these days, God has commanded that all men everywhere repent. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, you remember Peter writes there about the end of times, and he's dealing with these folks that are saying Jesus isn't coming yet, and because he hasn't come, he won't come. And Paul says, God is not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want anybody to perish. But what's the rest of that verse say? But that all men should come to repentance. Everybody should repent. God's expectation is that if you want to go to heaven, you've got to understand and know who He is, and you've got to care about what He says. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, you remember that one? For without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, a lot of times we think that ignorance is an excuse. The Hebrew writer tells us, without faith, it is impossible. I don't know if y'all have dealt with impossibility. There are things that just can't be done. And that's what the writer here says. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, basically verses 10 through 17 of that verse really talks about this idea. How are people going to believe unless they hear the word? And how are they going to hear the word unless somebody takes it to them and somebody preaches to them? You see, the Bible has this idea and this notion. The Bible has this law of God that you can't get to heaven if you don't know God and if you don't care about what He said. That's pretty sobering, isn't it? There are a lot of folks, according to the Bible, who won't be in heaven because they have not known God. And the sad thing about that is a lot of folks don't know they don't know. That's the sad part. And that's our job, is to take that good message of Jesus to them. Number two, the second group of folks who won't be able to go to heaven, according to the Bible, is those people who know but don't care. Okay? It's one thing not to know, but it's another thing to know and not to care. Look at Zephaniah chapter 3 with me. Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. We're studying minor prophets in our Bible class on Sunday morning, and there's so many powerful, powerful lessons in the minor prophet book. God hasn't changed His mind about how He feels about faithfulness. And in Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, Zephaniah writes, "Woe to her who is rebellious and defiled, the tyrannical city." This is Jerusalem that he's talking about. This is the people in whom, in the Old Testament, God's dwelling place was. These were what we'd call today church people. She heeded no voice. She accepted no instruction. She did not trust in the Lord. She did not draw near to her God. You know, it happens a lot of times that people are given the benefit of hearing the word. They're given the benefit of sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his words expressed and hearing the message of God as these words and scriptures are read to them. But what happens in all that sitting? Apparently they don't care because there's no heed. They aren't listening to what's being said. They're not changing. They're not accepting instruction. They're not repenting. They're not accepting instruction. They're not finding a way to trust God. They're just not. And as a consequence, there is no spiritual intimacy between them and God. They don't have that relationship that they know about God, but they just don't care enough to make the change that God is asking them to do. So secondly, those who know about the Bible but don't care are also not going to be in heaven. Well, we also have a group of people people who know the Bible but are careless. Those folks aren't going to make it to heaven either. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. In Hebrews chapter 1, the Hebrew writer's gone through the discussion and the dialogue that God sent Jesus to this earth, that he has spoken God's mind and that he has told us what God wants. And in Hebrews chapter 2, he really follows up on a continuation of the thought of Hebrews chapter 1, which is Jesus is better than the angels. And here's what he says: for this reason, because God has spoken through Jesus, and Jesus is better than the angels, for this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, how shall we escape, what's this say, if we neglect so great a salvation? There are folks that have salvation laid at their door. There are folks that have been privileged and honored to read God's word and to understand it and to have made commitment to it. But as time goes on, the sloppiness, the neglect sets in. And you see what it says in verse 1, we need to pay closer attention to what we've heard, because if we don't pay attention, we're going to drift away from God's word. And that drifting away will bring loss of heaven to us. You remember Jesus told the story in Matthew chapter 25. There's three stories in Matthew 25. The first one is the foolish virgins. There were 10 of them, total virgins. 5 were foolish, 5 were wise. The 5 wise virgins knew that the master was coming, and boy, they had oil in their lamps. But the 5 foolish virgins didn't get ready. They didn't think what was coming down the road, and they weren't prepared. And consequently, when the master came, they were locked out and they couldn't get in. Fourthly, in terms of the folks that don't get to heaven, is a group of people who think they know and care, but don't. All right, these are the folks that have fooled themselves into thinking that they care and to think that they know. They're very confident in what they know, but it's not the reality. It's not where God would have them be. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 7 tells us about the seed that was planted, and the thorns came up and overgrew some of that seed and just choked the life out of it. And that's this group of folks here who think they know. They start out with a fundamental basic knowledge base, but they don't keep growing. They don't keep learning. They don't keep testing what they know against God's reality and against God's truth. And a little bit added to a little bit added to a little bit. Ultimately, the cares of the world and the worldly thoughts and the things that the world can introduce take over their lives. And they think they know they're okay. And they think they care. But it's not according to truth. Matthew chapter 25, the end of that chapter, verses 31 through 46. Remember, in the middle, we got the foolish virgins at the front. In the middle, we got the parable of the talents. And at the end, we have the great separation, where Jesus divides the people on the right hand and on the left. And he says to the people on his right hand, come into heaven because you took care of me. You fed me. You looked out for me when I was in prison. You came and visited me. And they said, when did we do that? And he said, as much as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. It was a life that they were living, and they had the knowledge of what God wanted them to do. They had the care and concern that Jesus wanted them to have. But they didn't realize they were doing it to Jesus himself. And Jesus told those folks, come on in, y'all done good. What about the folks on the left? They said, well, why don't we get to come in? And Jesus said, well, you didn't do those things that you're supposed to do to come in. You didn't feed the poor. You didn't help the needy. You didn't visit the imprisoned. And to the degree that you didn't do it to them, you didn't do it to me either. So they don't get to come in. They know, and they think they care. But Jesus said they didn't. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Remember in Isaiah chapter 6, this is the passage where Isaiah sees God. And I think Megan and I share the view that this is one of our most favorite passages where Jesus sees God. Because you remember he says, woe unto me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, amongst the people of unclean lips. And the angel put was touched on Isaiah's lips, and his iniquity was taken away. But in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And the Lord said to Isaiah, go and tell this people, keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, and their eyes dim, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. He's supposed to go preach. He's supposed to go tell them about what God wants them to do. The problem is the people that he's talking to are unmovable, just as we read about back in Zephaniah. There are people who think they're okay. There are people who think they care. And the more God's message comes to them and says, this is what I want. Look deep into what I want. See what I'm talking about. experience what I'm trying to get you to experience. Nothing's happening. And Isaiah asks a question there in verse 11. Well, how long do I do this, he says. And God answered, until cities are devastated and without inhabitant, houses are without people, and the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. Yet there is a tenth portion of it, and it will again be subject to burning like a terebinth or an oak, whose seed remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. You keep preaching until everything's gone but the people of God. That's what he was told to do, and that's what we need to do. But there are folks, as we see here in Isaiah, that are just unmovable. They don't see it. They don't get it in terms of what the Lord's message is to them. Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 12, Zephaniah really repeats from God, I will punish the men who are, look at these terms, stagnant in spirit. That's a New American Standard Version. I will punish the men who are stagnant in spirit. That's kind of worrisome. That's these folks who think they know, folks who think they care, but really don't, because they've become stagnant. Well, where do these folks end up? You know, we've talked about in the second hour the idea that God's prepared a wonderful place, that's where he really wants everybody to be. The problem is, we know that not everybody's going to get there. Not everybody gets to go. So where do those folks go that don't get to go to heaven? You know, there's going to come a day, Habakkuk tells us in chapter 3 and verse 2, where God comes back with his angels and they're in flaming fire, and people are going to be saying, Lord, Lord. And Habakkuk is going to, these people are going to be giving a plea similar to what Habakkuk was given. Lord, in your wrath, remember mercy. You know, they're going to be throwing themselves on the court. In your wrath, remember mercy. But in Isaiah chapter 27 and verse 11, we see in the past and we know in that final day. In the final day, for those who are not prepared, for those who don't know and who don't care deeply about God, that those folks are going to be met with no mercy and no grace. That's a horrible situation to be in. Stand before the God of heaven and not receive any mercy and not receive any grace. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, or chapter 1, verses 5 through 12, these people are going to reap the penalty of eternal destruction. And in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, we know that that eternal destruction is the second death. The problem, I think, that we have and in our mindset, the thing that we miss so often is this. God has prepared a paradise, a place for us to be, a place most wonderful. But paradise isn't the default. You see, if there had been no Jesus, if God hadn't prepared paradise, this destruction is all that was out there for us. God sent Jesus to save us from this, because this is the default. And that's where the folks are, these four groups of people, in terms of knowing and caring, if they don't get to heaven. Let's run through a reality check real quick as we conclude here. We've talked about how God exists and that God has spoken and that God has prepared a place of eternal paradise, of eternal bliss and eternal joy. It lasts forever. The problem, the concern, the worry, not everybody gets to go. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, Paul told the Corinthians, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. It's not a good thing to be on God's bad side. And again, in our verses this morning, Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter. Not everybody gets to go. And so we really need to take under consideration those things that the Bible has told us about, people that don't get to go to heaven. And we'll close with Haggai chapter 1 and verse 7. As the people were concerned about their lives and not thinking about what God wanted them to do, and Haggai comes to them and says, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. We each one need to consider our ways. Are we on that narrow path that's going to lead us to heaven? Or do we not know, we not care to know, or we not care about spending an eternity in bliss and avoiding the fiery default? This morning, if you've heard the message of Jesus, if you've heard the message of God, and there are things amiss in your life, if there's things that aren't right that really need to be put right, about your dedication, about knowing who God is and what He wants you to do, if you've missed the idea that God cares deeply about how much you care about Him and His kingdom, we want to give you the opportunity this morning to make things right, get it straight. We're not any of us guaranteed tomorrow. And if we don't have a tomorrow to fix a problem, we're going to be stuck with that problem forever. And eternity is a long, long time. If you're struggling this morning through something in particular and you need the church's prayers, the request for the church to help you, whatever your need may be this morning, we'd ask that you'd bring it down front. Let us know what it is that we can do to help you in your spiritual life and for getting right. Because God's spoken, He's got a wonderful place prepared, but not everybody gets to go. Shall we stand and sing?